Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Whether you're listening on a Minnesota station, on our national broadcast, or on your favorite podcast platform, we are glad that you're with us. Coming up on Minnesota Military Radio today, we welcome Brad Dobozinski and Marissa Narika from the Eagle Group of Minnesota Veterans. Together, they're helping veterans and military families navigate one of life's most important transitions, finding connection, purpose, and new opportunities after service. We'll talk about the challenges they see, the support that makes a difference, and why community matters now more than ever. Brad, Marissa, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Doug.
All right. Now, Brad, you've been on the show before, so we're going to start with Marissa. And what I'd like to do, Marissa, is just give us a quick introduction of yourself and really what led you to the Eagle Group of Minnesota Veterans.
Sure. I'm originally from Illinois, and I came to Minnesota when I met my husband, who is a veteran of the Marine Corps. And so he was actually Brad's predecessor as president of Eagle Group of Minnesota. And that's how I was introduced to the group, because while we were dating, he was president and I got to learn all about it. And then as I was moving into my transition in career recently in the last year, he encouraged me to start participating in the group myself.
And so here you are. Brad says, all right, you've been participating. It's been long enough. Now it's time for you to come on the radio show so we can get another perspective about how it helps. Yeah. And I think the great thing about this is that, and we'll talk more about it as well in the program, but, you know, Eagle Group Minnesota, yeah, it's talking about veterans, but there's a nexus to supporting the family as well. And that's got to be real important to you as well.
It is. I think it's really important to recognize that there are people behind the military and the veterans that need support as well during various portions of their life.
Yeah, perfect. Now, Brad, again, we've had you on. Marissa already said you're the president, current president of Eagle Group Minnesota. But why don't you give us, you know, that once-over introduction of you, your military service, and then what brought you to Eagle Group?
Yeah, sure. I actually enlisted right out of high school. Put in 4 years, got out, came back to Minnesota, went to college, was in the Guard for a couple years, and then I graduated and got commissioned, and I served another 24 years. Retired and moved back to Minnesota in 2018, and I had been on the ground for about a week, and a friend that I went to college with knew that I was retired, and he had just retired as well. He goes, hey, I'm going to go to this golf tournament for this Eagle Group thing, and I said, okay. He said, we can golf for free. I went to the tournament, and I actually had Marissa's husband, Adam, was my part, one of my, in my foursome. So that's where I met him with the Eagle Group. And from there, they really kind of helped me figure out what I needed to do to help myself transition and get a job as a civilian, which really has been helpful.
Yeah, that's awesome. And just to point out, you retired as a lieutenant colonel in the Army. Public affairs is your specialty. And you graduated from Delano High School.
That is
and
correct.
Also St. John's.
Yep.
So you've had a great career. So thank you for your service. And Marissa, we don't often say it enough, and really thank you for your service as well, right? We know that being a military spouse, and although you got a unique circumstance because you met your husband after his service, but there's still a price to pay. And we're going to talk about that because part of that price was you having to get involved in this Eagle Group thing, as Brad eloquently describes, you know. And by the way, who doesn't like free golf? Even if you're not a golfer, it's still free. So
that's
go
right.
Have a good time. Well, so let's get into it a little bit, right? I mean, you know, I already mentioned that Eagle Group, of course, Brad, you know, it focuses on veterans. We know there's a nexus to support the family or the spouse, but talk about the Minnesota veteran support and that gap that you guys have identified that's really missing and why Eagle Group is so important.
Well, you know, when I got back, being a public affairs officer, my last job was in the Pentagon, and I had connections, and I could have walked out of that job and probably found a job right on the street, no problem. I decided to move home. Well, I thought I had this huge skill set, which I did. I didn't have any connections. I didn't have a network. And Eagle Group really prides itself on providing that network. We've got so many folks that have different skill sets, different functions, different jobs, and we can find that network for those veterans coming in. If they say, okay, I'm in IT, I'm in logistics, I'm in maintenance, we can find where they can link in with that network that helps them get to the next level where they can get a job. So, and I think the network is very important, especially here. And when you move back after you retire, you're brand new again and you're starting over, and you have to have a network to really get yourself out there.
You're really keying in on the importance of a network.
Yep.
And absolutely. I mean, we know whatever the percentage is, let's just say it's 80% of jobs are filled internally or because of someone you know, not through the normal resume job seeking process. But so we know the network is important. I'm just wondering if through your time with Eagle Group, you've identified other obstacles that our veterans are facing and things that, you know, really stick out.
Yeah, I think a couple of the big things are, you know, making sure that that resume is in civilian speak. You know, a lot of military folks will have all their military, you know, skill sets down there. But you and I both know that, hey, I was a company commander of a armor company. That doesn't mean anything for a civilian who's working, you know, logistics here in the cities. That doesn't relate to them. But if you start telling them that you managed X number of people and you controlled, you know, $80 million of equipment without any issues, and you made sure that the maintenance was done properly, and you start going through and really kind of taking that military language, making it civilian so that they have that information. So I think that's one obstacle. The other one is a lot of these folks, especially when you put in 20, 30 years in the military, you don't know what an interview is anymore. You haven't done one. And if you have one,
it's been a board,
been a
panel.
Long,
yeah.
So learning how to do that again,
yeah.
You know, making succinct answers to your questions and keeping them short and making sure you hit those points. So we help with all those skill sets. And then we try now a lot more to get coaches. So we help these veterans by having a coach that they can call up and say, hey, look, I just got this interview set up. I want to go over these questions. Not a problem. And then they can help them kind of walk through the whole process.
I'm just wondering, Marissa, you know, as he's talking about this interesting dynamic of trying to translate military experience into civilian talk, you know, you had teased that you're going through a transition right now, starting a new job as well. In your time involved with, because you're forced to through Adam, but, you know, in your time involved with the Eagle Group, were there some things that you picked up on that really helped you to ease this transition period, eventually land the job that you have walking into?
Sure. So one of the things was my husband really wanted me to work on my networking. I'm naturally an introvert, and so the idea of trying to network with people I didn't know was kind of daunting. And so what I really appreciated is that I walked into Eagle Group, I explained who I was, what I was looking for, and people just started coming up and were very warm, welcoming, going, how can I help you? Let's set some time up, and then would then introduce me to other individuals to have conversations with. Because at one point I was thinking, do I transition out of higher education or education in general into a completely different field? And so I was trying to also figure out, what is the skill set for that? What do I need to do? And so what was great was having those conversations gave me not only the support I needed, but provided me with the confidence I needed to start doing this on my own, to the point that I started just randomly reaching out to other individuals. Hey, let's grab coffee, or I would like to talk to you about X, Y, and Z. And that actually helped open the doors to where I'm going starting in July. So
yeah.
That's great.
And your background is, as you'd mentioned, education. And,
correct.
You know, you've got a Bachelor of Arts in English Education from St. Ambrose University, a Master of Arts in Higher Education from Geneva, Education Specialist degree in Educational Leadership, and a Doctorate of Education as well. So, I mean, this is a span of, like, education and specialty that had to be kind of daunting or scary to think maybe you'd be walking away from that, especially at that higher level, education level.
That's correct. Spending 20 years in faith-based higher education and having had moved with every job that I had, and now recognizing here I am in the Twin Cities, this is where I'm staying. I'm raising my two young boys with my husband here. I'm going, okay, where do I pivot? And there's not a lot of roles once you've hit a certain level within higher education. I was going, okay, I might need to look outside, and what does that look like? And so somebody had planted a seed about being a Catholic school leader, so a principal. And I started kind of exploring that and having those informational conversations. And that opened the doors with the Archdiocese, so I'm going to be a principal.
That's awesome. Good for you. We've got about 45 seconds left here in this segment. But, Brad, I'm just wondering if, you know, when you meet with or hear from the veterans that come to Eagle Group Minnesota, is there like one main challenge they're really facing as it relates to employment during this reintegration process?
You know, I think the biggest thing is keeping a good, positive attitude because it's such a huge endeavor. I mean, you came from one job where you only change to a new job when you PCS.
Yeah.
You know, you change a station, you move to a new location. Now you're starting over fresh. So that's really one of the big, you know, tenets that we follow is, you know, our commitment to our veterans to make sure that we're here for them. And if they have any questions, if they just need to talk or go out and have a cup of coffee, we're always there for them.
Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest thing, because I know even for myself, I was like, why do I keep going in these interviews and I can't get a job?
Yeah.
You know, I've got this skill set. But having somebody is so
important.
It's
a long game. You got to play the long game. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back and we'll continue the conversation with Eagle Group of Minnesota veterans. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me from Eagle Group of Minnesota veterans is Brad Dobaszynski and Marissa Narika. Brad, we went in the break and we talked about the long game on how important that is. I think that is, it couldn't be a more true statement to not expect you're going to get a job right now. It's not like a military career planning officer where you might know your next several moves, or at least projected moves, and it's just going to happen. You get back here, life is different. And I want to focus on Marissa here for this segment a little bit, because obviously you didn't serve. You met your husband after he served. And I think that gives you a little bit of a different perspective as a military spouse after his service, but still raising a young family. Now you're connected to this Eagle Group of Minnesota Veterans Organization. And I'm just wondering if all of this has kind of changed your perspective about the military family, the service member.
Me a lot more respect for the military spouse and military families, having an outside perspective but still being a military spouse, if that makes sense, given that I see how proud my husband is as a veteran. It's just who he is, how he interacts with others, how he stands, his integrity, his discipline. Then I've had the opportunity to interface with other military spouses and hear their stories and how they've struggled through various transitions and things like that. And so for me, it's going, okay, how do I support them either now if they're still continuing that or after the fact? How do we continue to come together as military spouses to support each other, because we all believe in the mission that they're doing?
Yeah, no, and I would imagine, especially as an educator, you do get this perspective too. If you've had kids or young adults that have been in the education system where you've been teaching or whatever, that are military kids, and you know, maybe before you didn't notice it, but is that something that now your eyes are open just a little bit more? Because you know, you talk about how the military life, it's in your husband's blood.
Yeah.
Well, you're raising two young kids. They didn't know their dad serving, but yet he instills, I'm assuming, military values and good moral values into them, which have a military nexus, right? So do you notice those kinds of things a little bit more now with the children that you interact with or the young adults that you might have been interacting with?
I think that I do see the difference in it. They may not always be at the forefront of things, but they definitely show those leadership skills. It's often a quiet leadership that I see forthcoming with the individuals. I think that, too, if somebody has a parent who is currently deployed, they might also be a little bit more reserved. Different things are going on where do we recognize that something, they need additional supports. And I think those are the ways that we can come and walk alongside them during this time.
And as a soon-to-be principal, you'll actually have an opportunity to really do some things to really get after that, where you might have children who are military children who have
Correct.
A parent or relative deployed. And it's not just a heartache for the military spouse. Those kids go through mm-hmm. an awful lot as well.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about your transition. We already teased a little bit. You're going to become a principal. You know, as a part of your transition, you spent some time. You've been spending time with Eagle Group. You know, you got the – you better do some networking, right? What is your perspective now, or how has your perspective changed as it relates to that constant – change for our military that are, like Brad was saying, you know, maybe they're getting a permanent change of station. He's overseas, but now coming home back to a state, or in Brad's case, out in D.C., leaving D.C. where he probably would have landed a job very easily, coming back to Minnesota where you're starting over. Is there a different perspective that you kind of see now because you had to have gone through this transition and you see all these military people, veterans that you're working with and interacting with at Eagle Group? What does that do for you, or what kind of perspective do you get, a new perspective do you get?
I think it reinforced the need for us to take care of ourselves. I always say you can't give what you don't have. And I think that the military can be individuals can be very hard on themselves. And so sometimes it's a matter of, hey, I need to take a step back. I need to take care of myself so that I can actually go forward and do this and ask for that help, which I know is very difficult for military to do as well.
Do you think that there's something that we as a society or a community could be doing or should be doing differently, specifically as it relates to our military spouses? You know, before the show, we were talking about mm-hmm. how, you know, a spouse, for example, often puts their education on hold. They don't get a chance to really build out their career because they might be moving often or on a frequent basis with their military serving spouse or partner, right? So I'm just wondering if there's something that you think as a community maybe we should be doing different or recognize about those military spouses.
I think that we need to remember that there could be one deployment or there could be multiple deployments, and are we making sure that we're consistent each time and how we're coming forward to assist the military family and the spouse? Because if they're there for the first time but not there for the fifth time, well, we're still in the same position that we were the first time. It may actually be more difficult because there may be more constraints with a full-time job, with additional kids, your education, et cetera. And they need help.
Yeah.
It's just as if something that I've noticed as well is – I don't have family nearby, and my family's all over, you know, the United States. And so that can be a struggle for me with my husband. Well, that just is tenfold then for the military spouse
right.
if they don't have family around.
Right.
So who's coming to walk alongside them during these times?
You know, I wonder, Brad, maybe you can answer this. You know, going from this position where you're serving – let's just say active duty in this mm-hmm. case. You're serving on active duty where I don't want to say everything is handed out to you or given to you, but you have a pretty structured lifestyle, right? I mean, you get a housing allowance or you're living on base. If you're living on base, you're probably eating at the on-base dining facility. And you don't have to put a lot of thought into all of those other things. And so I'm just wondering what maybe you saw coming back from D.C., even though you're a grown man and you're experienced – but coming back, really, even though you're coming home, you're coming back to something that's new and different. What's that struggle like?
Yeah, so when we got back, I mean, I felt like I was in a brand new place again, you know, and this is home. I mean, I grew up in Delano. I mean, why is this all brand new again? You know,
right.
I mean, I didn't have a house. I lived with my in-laws for, you know, a couple months because we didn't have jobs yet. And I had to wait until I actually retired in, you know, October before I could even start a job according to, you know,
yeah.
policy and stuff. So
right.
I was looking, but it was hard. But, you know, on the positive side, you know, my wife had finally started getting her jobs when we were at D.C. She worked at Fort Belvoir. She was a contractor, then she was a government civilian. She was working there. And then when she got here, she started doing her networking without even figuring it out. She has friends that were working.
Sure.
And she got a job before I did, which helped us to start looking at, okay, now we can start looking for a house. Now we can start settling down. But I think it was really difficult because even home was a brand new place again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like another change of station. It was just like moving to another city, and you're like, okay, I'm going to start all over again.
Yeah. So in this last minute here, what do you think, Brad, a successful transition looks like, right? From your perspective, obviously it's different from person to person, but what do you think a successful transition looks like?
Oh, I think first off, what a person needs to do is sit down, make sure that they have all their skill sets, that they get the assistance they need to get that written in the civilian speak, have it in the right aspect, you know, okay, it only needs to be one page or two pages, however long the resume needs to be. Get themselves, you know, a little assistance on how to conduct that interview. And then I really think the networking is important. I know we keep hounding on that, but that gets your foot in the door. You start learning about the environment you're in, the community you're in, because the network here that I have in Minnesota is completely different than the network I had in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, and one of the things that was expressed to me when I was going through my transition was make sure you network properly.
Yep.
Don't waste someone's time that you're trying to network with. I mean, have a purpose, right? Don't just meet for coffee because you want to meet for coffee. Like, have a actual agenda about what you want to accomplish out of that 20-minute meeting because, let's face it, everybody's busy. And I think that's important. I don't think we can stress it enough. So with that, we'll take another quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We will be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In the studio with me from the Eagle Group of Minnesota Veterans is the president of the organization, Brad Dobzinski, and Marissa Narika. Marissa got roped into supporting her husband, who was involved in Eagle Group Minnesota Veterans, and fell in love with the organization and actually took to heart some of the techniques that were presented, and you found yourself through a transition landing a job. And so I do want to start with you in this segment, Marissa, and talk about Eagle Group itself and the emphasis that is really placed on this peer-to-peer support and the importance of the mentorship and connection. And I'm just wondering if you can kind of talk a little bit about that and why it's so important to this organization, to the success or to support the success of those that are transitioning, whether they're veterans or the spouses.
Sure. The organization, one of the pillars is camaraderie. And they recognize that that is something that's very core to the military, that camaraderie that comes out of it. And so in the development, they recognized, well, in order to keep that going, we need to have the peer-to-peer support, the mentorship, people who understand what we've been through and then can also transition them to the next step. And so I think that's something you definitely see throughout the organization.
Building on that just a little bit, Brad, I'm imagining that with this peer-to-peer process or format, it actually allows the transitioning person to be spoken to in a different manner. And what I mean by that is, as a former military guy talking to a former military guy, there's a level of directness you can have that's going to be accepted because of that common bond of service.
Yeah. So, and I think that's the biggest part of this, because we speak the same language. And I know we have all branches of services, and somebody may say, you know, one thing one way or another thing another way, but we all wore a uniform. We served our country. So we understand that. And having that relationship, you know, at the beginning of the meetings, I always talk about the three C's, and camaraderie is such an important part of it. It's us getting together, talking about our stories and kind of reliving the good old days and help us move forward and continue on with those good old days for tomorrow. So it really is a huge part, because we can all speak the same language to each other and help them transition and move forward.
What do you excuse me, what do you think most civilians or civilians in general misunderstand more frequently about a veteran's transition into the civilian life?
I think the biggest thing is they don't really understand what the military member brings to that.
Because if you were in the military, you obviously were a snake eater and a killer, and all you did was blow stuff up all the time.
Right. And they'll look at that. Okay, yeah you were an infantryman, or you were, you know, whatever the case may be. You're an airborne. You jumped out of airplanes. What does that relate to?
Well, God, if you jumped out of airplanes, there must be something wrong with you mentally,
well,
too.
Exactly,
then, right?
Exactly. So I think they don't really understand the skill sets that we have. I might have been an armor officer, and I commanded a company of M1 Abrams tanks going into combat. Where does that relate? Well, I commanded a company. You know, I commanded up to 300 people, managed 13 different sections,
right.
Admin, logistics, medical, staff officers, all the maintenance aspects. We fed them. We had food. I mean, the entire thing. You ran a small corporation from every aspect of it in a combat environment.
Right. You had a budget to manage.
Exactly. So taking all that information and putting it into civilian speak, and then they understand – oh, you do have skill sets that we can use.
Yeah.
You're a project manager. You are a executive level for this, you know, small corporation that we have because you've already done all that stuff.
And you've kind of already started touching on it, and that is, what are those qualities that veterans are bringing to the table that most people don't realize a veteran or a service member brings to a new corporation or a new job?
Well, I think one of the big things that I think that we're missing a lot right now is a lot of leadership skills and a lot of management. And I mean, you know as well as I do that once you start, even when you go to basic training and you're a private, you start getting taught leadership skills from day one.
But you don't know that that's what they're doing.
No, not until you get out.
That's correct, yeah.
And then all of a sudden here you are. I mean, I retired a lieutenant colonel. I mean, I commanded a company. I was, I led a team of contractors and military members and civilians managing the digital media for the United States Army, you know, all the social media, the website. That's a huge endeavor. But I knew I could do it because I had all these years of leadership and I had a deputy who knew what he was doing. I had people that could do their jobs. I think really they need to start looking at what the military brings because we do have that leadership skill. We do have organizational skills. We have so many skills. We just have to be able to explain that.
Because you touched on leadership, and it is an extremely important aspect to talk about in understanding for our civilian partners to know a level of leadership that a military member might bring to the table. You've had a long career. You've had all those things you've already been talking about. I'm just wondering, when you look back, what are those things that really shaped you as a leader that now you are sharing with Eagle Group, Minnesota veterans, and those that are trying to find a new job?
Well, I mean, we could sit here and talk about that all day because every job, you've had either a good or a bad leader. And everybody always says you always learn more from the bad leaders. But I think you learn just as much from those good ones. And I mean, I can think back to one boss that, he didn't yell. And if you made a mistake, he would give you that look like he was just so disappointed in you.
And then you felt horrible.
That was I would have rather he would have yelled at me and chewed me out for the rest of the day, and that was the last time I ever let him down.
Yeah.
But the other thing I think that really helps is taking the whole situation in before you make a decision. And I learned that through my career, too, because sometimes you'd hear about something and you get angry right away and you want to go correct it. But there's always a second side to it. And to make sure you know everything about the situation before you make a determination is important.
Yeah. In that leadership style, it has to change or grow with you as you grow in your career. Mm-hmm. The way you lead an infantry soldier or an armor soldier isn't the same way you can lead someone in the current job that you have, right? There's different language, obviously, a different level of directness. We kind of talked about that before. But I would imagine as a part of this peer-to-peer group, this communication and partnership and mentorship that's going on within Eagle Group Minnesota, you're talking about those things. Because once you start treating somebody in a civilian world like they're infantry soldiers – you're not going to last very long.
No, they don't react very well to that. I mean, you know, I can tell an infantryman to go take that hill with his entire platoon, and they'll do it, and they will be happy about it.
Yeah.
I tell
even
somebody,
if it's raining.
Well, they love it that way.
Exactly.
A little snow on the ground. But, yeah, it's different. You know, the thing is, you have to just know your environment. You have to know, hey, this is how I lead. And you can use those same skill sets. It's just knowing your environment and what you need to use to lead them.
Last question for you in this segment, and I promise we're going to bring Marissa back into it. But, you know, your time, communications, you know, working through all of the social media stuff, storytelling is something that you've had to do to tell the Army story. How important is it for a veteran who's transitioning to be able to tell their story?
So that's step one. We talk about elevator speeches. One guy I've been working with a lot, he rambles on, and I'm like, you got to keep it short. 30 seconds, you got to hit the high points. Storytelling and telling who you are to somebody, especially someone that you're networking with, possible job opportunities, is extremely important.
Yeah.
If you can't relate to them and let them know, hey, this is who I am, and this is what I can bring to your team, you know, in a clear, concise storyline, really kind of hurts your chances of moving forward.
And have that story refined. So the story that's told in your resume, the story that's told in the interview, the story that's told in the elevator speech, they're all intertwined, but it's a different story. So that you can really give a great total picture of the person. So,
that's correct.
All right. With that, we're going to take another quick break, and then we'll come back. We're going to wrap up this conversation. I mean, it's already been three segments. I mean, it's crazy how fast time flies. This is Minnesota Military.
Welcome
back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me from Eagle Group of Minnesota Veterans is Brad Dobaszynski and Marissa Narika. And Marissa, in the last segment, it was kind of the Brad segment, but you got an earlier segment that we focused a lot on you. And so I do want to start with you on this one, right? You know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, veterans and spouses and transitioning. But if you could just speak to the broader audience that's listening to the show right now, what is something that you really want the broader audience to remember about our conversation today?
That you need to continue to support our military veterans, their spouses, and the families. It's really important that you come alongside them and say, how can I help? How can I support you? What can I provide to you in order to make your life easier and be successful and feel part of the larger community here?
Yeah, awesome. And Brad, let's talk specific to a veteran that's listening today. Right. I mean, it's in your name, Eagle Group Minnesota Veterans. But there's a veteran today that's listening and maybe they're feeling stuck. Right. You've already talked about network and how important that is. But is there something that you would tell them, hey, take this small step and then, you know, this is how we are going to encourage you along the way to keep looking, keep fighting and well, stay in the fight ultimately for that new job?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, go to our website, you know, Eagle Group MN.org. Go to our website, look up our Tuesday meetings. We have online meetings. We meet on Zoom. We have coaching. We talk about their situation, get to know them. We have coaches on there. We also have a couple that are in person. The first Tuesday of the month is in Blaine. The second Tuesday is at Richfield VFW. And then we have a monthly meeting where we have a speaker come in and we do a lot of networking at the end of that meeting. But go on a network, go on the website, and then, you know, show up. We're here for you. We've got a huge network. We've got folks that want to help. We've got the coaches, and I think that's what they really need to do. And if they're feeling down, they're feeling blue, and they need some help, that's what we're here for. We're here to help them.
You know, I've been to a few of the meetings, and what I thought was really interesting is the way that you have a segment where you celebrate those who've landed a job. And you also support those who are looking for a job. And what I thought was really neat about that is, you know, like who's looking right now? I forget what phrase you use when you call it out. But there are like people in the room saying, I need to talk to you. Like right after this meeting, let's talk. I know somebody. It's so just the power of being in the same room with a group of like-minded people who want to support you to find that job. I think that's just a huge, huge thing.
It is. You know, we get done, and the first thing we do is we do our landing. So those folks that got their job. So for all those new people that are there, they see three, four people come up, and I give them a coin, and they get to tell their story. You know, hey, I'm working for this company, and Eagle Group helped me with this, this, and this. And then we go to needs, and that's all those folks that need a job. What is your need? You know, hey, I'm Joe Smith, and I'm an IT specialist. This is what I need. This is what I'm looking for. And then after the needs, we go to leads, and we have folks that come in from companies. And a couple of the board members, they'll talk about their company. And right now we do our meetings at Toro. So we have a Toro recruiter talking about, hey, we have open positions. You go to our website. So we have all those things. And yeah, after we're done, you know, we always have folks that'll make a beeline to one of those new folks and talk to them. I think that's really empowering, and it really helps show the new folks, hey, they really do care. They really do want to help me out. So it's been a big part of the Eagle Group.
Yeah. I'll throw the question out to both of you. You know, obviously Eagle Group is helping, right? But when you think about the veteran community inside of Minnesota, what is the thing that really gives you the most hope? And I'll start with you, Brad. That way Marissa has a time to think about if she wants to answer or not.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. For me, with this Eagle Group, I know that there is a veteran community. But the fact that I'm part of it, and we get together and we work together as a team. And there are so many veteran organizations out there right now. I mean, you could have a whole two-hour show just to talk what those organizations are. But I think Minnesota has a place in its heart for all these military organizations and these veteran organizations, because they're out there and they're helping them do multiple things, from homelessness to jobs to you name it. They're out there helping them.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Marissa?
I've just been really blessed by the military community in terms of just their open arms. For me, who's relatively new as a military spouse, to know that I can tap on one of their shoulders and they will guide me in different directions has really been wonderful to see and to experience myself.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, Brad, let's talk a little bit about, you know, when a veteran comes to Eagle Group, not in all cases, but in most cases, they're obviously looking for a job, right? And so that might be somebody's immediate need. And I think statistics will say it was in my case too. You know, the first job you get post-retirement isn't necessarily going to be the job you stay with, right? And so how do you kind of navigate and balance that immediate need compared to or versus long-term career goals or aspirations?
Oh, a perfect example is myself. I mean, I got the Eagle Group. I was looking really hard. I ended up getting like a really kind of a part-time temporary job with the Department of Education here in Minnesota. I did that for like 8 months, but I was still using Eagle Group, and I was still networking. I was still looking for something more permanent, and that's when I ended up landing the role that I did, working as a public affairs officer with the Minneapolis VA. But I think it's so important to know that even if you get that one job and this isn't what I want, you come right back to Eagle Group. We're there for that entire transition. If you're going to transition four times in 1 year, we're there for you. Mm-hmm. And we have some members that'll come in and they'll be there for 6 months. They land a job and we never see them again. And that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That is a great feeling for us, because I know they got a job and they're out of there. That's perfect. And then there's other folks like myself that stick around for 8, 9, 10, 20 years.
And end up being the president.
Yeah. Well, we still got one of the founding members, you know, a couple of the founding members that still show up. And it's a big deal, and it's in their hearts.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the comments that I always make to people is the best time to find a job is when you already have one, right?
Yep.
And so it's easier to find your career job when you're already working a job, right? Because you don't want to have this thing over your head about relying or waiting for an income because you don't have any. At least if you have a job, you got something coming in, something just to sustain you. It might not be ideal. Mm-hmm. It might not be as much as you want, but you at least are, you know, building some experience still and staying involved with Eagle Group. Even through finding that job, you can still come back and offer opportunities that might be going on in your own place of business.
Well, exactly. And you never know. If you keep that network open, all of a sudden you'll get an email or you get a phone call and somebody said, got this position that's open and you would be a perfect fit. And sometimes these things do fall in your lap, which is a great thing. And that's where that networking, again, going back to that, that's where that helps.
We're
going to
run out of time here. We've got about a minute and maybe a minute and a half. What's next? What do you got on the horizon for Eagle Group? How can people support Eagle Group Minnesota veterans?
You can always volunteer for Eagle Group. We got mentors. We've got coaching. We've got a whole bunch of stuff that people can help out with. We also have our 8th annual Eagle Group Heroes Golf Tournament coming up on August 17th out at Crystal Lake in Lakeville. Again, 8th annual. And it's near and dear to my heart because I was at the first one. That was my first meeting, and I met Marissa's husband, Adam, and that's where that kind of connection started. But, yeah, and we're always open. I mean, we're a nonprofit, so taking even donations would be wonderful.
So
and you can
eaglegroupmn.org is the place to go get all the information. And, Marissa, congratulations on your new job.
Yes.
Glad that Eagle Group Minnesota Veterans played a small part in that. Glad that your husband has been involved for as long as he has and got Brad involved too. So both of you, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on Minnesota Military Radio and sharing about Eagle Group Minnesota Veterans.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Awesome. And hey, thank you all for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your support. We work hard to bring you meaningful and informative conversations each and every week. We always welcome your feedback and your guest suggestions. Please visit MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us. You can catch up on past episodes on your favorite podcast platform or at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Our special 3-hour live Memorial Day broadcast is available now, along with a special recording for my recent trip to the Africa Command Area of Operations. Be sure to tune in next week for a legislative recap and a look at education opportunities for veterans. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. Have a productive week, and please take a moment to thank and honor those who have served and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can all enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.